Good morning. Good morning. If you guys would stand with me, I want to read a verse in Psalm 57, verse 8. And it says this. It says, "Awake my soul, awake harp and lyre. I will awake in the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples, for great is your love reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Awake my soul." This morning, I just want to encourage us as we get into worship that we would just step into his presence. That's the verbiage I want to use today. And that we would remind our spirit, remind our soul why we're here. And so right now, would you just pray with me? God, we just thank you so much for this time we get to gather. God, I pray, Lord, that our soul would be awake. God, regardless of how physically or mentally tired our flesh may be, God, our body may be, Lord, I pray, God, just for a supernatural awakening, Lord, in our soul. God, right now, I just pray, Lord, anyone who is weary, anyone who's feeling tired, God, that you would just be with them, Lord, in this time, God. We pray, God, these next few moments, Lord, would just be done unto you, God, that we would exalt you in these songs. We would exalt you, Lord, in this time of worship. It wouldn't just be a moment, Lord, to lift up pretty melodies, God, but it would be worship to you. Awake our souls, God. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, that you're in the room. Thank you, Jesus, that you love us enough to show up, God, at this little church in Sela. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you, Father, that you know exactly what we need before we even say it. To stir something up inside of your children today, God. Stir something up inside of the saints today, God. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for all that you've done, all that you continue to do. We just ask, God, that you would just continue to bless, Lord, this morning. Lord, for everybody in here, for all that are on their way this morning, for all that are watching online or watch this at a later time. God, we just pray, Lord, that you would just invade, Lord, their cars as they're driving here, God. You would invade their homes, God, if they're watching online. God, we just thank you, Lord, that we get to worship you, God. That worship is not a chore, but we get to worship you. It's not just another thing we check off on the box Sunday morning, but we get to worship you. Posture our hearts towards you, God. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
No. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. Cause your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, it never gives up, never runs out on me. Oh, thank you for your love. Oh, we thank you for your love. My Jesus, thank you for your bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship your holy name. Song again, whatever may pass and whatever lies before, let me be singing when the evening comes. Oh, sing, bless the Lord, bless the Lord, oh my soul.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful. Sing it out, church. And all my life you have been so good. With every breath that I am in, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Sing it from your soul. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so good. Every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Never fails me, and all my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, and I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my sing of the goodness of God. To our Lord, all my life, and all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, and I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yeah, I will sing goodness of God. 'Cause you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. So good. Yeah, you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. It's who he is. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. And you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, you're never gonna let us. And you're good, 'cause you are good. You're good. You are good. You're good. Oh, we declare this today, God. You are good. You're good. People in the room today that need to remind their souls of how good God is. You may have faced bad news, bad circumstances. It does not change the goodness of God. Today, I just want us to take just a few more moments to declare God's goodness. It's easy for our flesh to take over the conversation and say, yeah, the Bible says God is good. We sing these songs about God being good. But what about this bad situation in my life? What about this bad situation at work? What about this bad situation in my marriage? What about this bad situation with my kids? What about this bad situation in the world? Let us not forget that we serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one that conquered death and rose again for us. And because of that reason, we get to sing out, we get to declare that God is good. We're not ignoring the issue, but we're telling those giants that our God is good, that our God is alive, and that He is so, so good. So if that's you this morning, I just want you to be stirred up today, because our God is good. Is good, good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, you're good.
baby girl?
I have never been more hesitant to give a word as I am right now. I've been giving words my whole Christian life, and I'm sitting there and I'm wrestling with it, and God is saying, are you going to be obedient? And so I know that what I give, I could be all wet, or I could be right with what God wants me to do. And then I'm saying to myself, I'd rather give it and be obedient than not give it and be disobedient, right? So I sense in this room that there are people that are receiving the call of God on their life today, specifically today. And that may mean God's calling you to clean the church, or God is calling you to work on the coffee before church starts, or being in the children's ministry, or actually being called into the ministry to be a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist. And if we don't give those opportunities, people are never going to know that God has a plan for their life, right? So we, our hearts are so for you, and so is God's, that we want to step in this with you, if that indeed is the case for your life. So if your heart's beating a little fast, and if you're not sure what it's all about, like I was, I came to be obedient, and I want you to be obedient too. So I want whoever it is just to be obedient and step out, and then let God do what God needs to do. So Father, we just open ourselves up to you this morning. You are good. You are so, so good. And Father, I just pray that if this word is for somebody this morning, that you would just touch them with your power and your might. Father, that they would feel an acceptance as they walk forward in you. God, we open up this area so that we can agree with anybody who feels that the Lord is asking you to do something more and beyond what you do. And Father, we just pray that your will be done today. Let your will be done today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Good things for your kids. Thank you.
Paul prays for the Ephesians church. Chapter 1, he says that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they might know the hope of their calling, the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints, the hope of their calling. I know some of you, when you heard Pastor Gay talking about, you know, being called, you're thinking, well, surely not me. I'm just, you know, so-and-so. Nobody big in the kingdom of God. I'm here to tell you there's no big ones in the kingdom of God. There's no small ones. There's just those that are obedient to who he calls you to be. As I've said many times, there's ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all have different functions. So if you've been either like stirred, maybe a little bit, let that process in your heart what the Lord may be communicating to you about. The Bible also says that he desires obedience over sacrifice. So like Gay said, she'd rather be obedient and miss it than disobedient and miss it. So praise the Lord. So if that's you, or if you feel like something's stirring, when you get a chance, come up and at the very least have Gabe pray for you. And maybe it's over the next few weeks, all of a sudden you start processing, oh, I think you were doing something, you know. It doesn't have to be like that. We're all in a process. And I believe there's probably more here that are called just to something in your life than you'd realize it right now. I know that all of us are called to be a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. All right. God bless you. Greet each other for a little bit, and we'll be back. Thank you for worship, guys. Very good. Okay. Let's go ahead and do our declarations. We're going to do it over the valley today. So if you'd stand with me again, sorry about the standing and sitting, sitting and standing, but thank you, Jesus. All right, on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city would have all their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in the Yakima Valley as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord, we do. We say, your will be done in the Yakima Valley, Lord. Not man's will, Lord, not politicians' wills, not businesses' will, Lord. Your will be done. Lord, we declare your will over the Yakima Valley. We declare your will, Lord, over families. Lord, we declare your will, Lord, over schools, Lord. We declare your will, Lord, over businesses, God. Lord, we declare your will, Lord, over every aspect of our valley, Lord, that your will be done. Lord, we pray that our hearts and our lives, Lord, in this valley, God, would be turned towards you. As we were singing earlier, that you would awaken our souls, Lord, to sing and worship you, Lord, that worship would be part of the DNA of the Yakima Valley, worshipers of God, not just in churches on Sunday, Lord, but worshipers in our homes, Lord, worshipers, Lord, when we drive, Lord, worshipers, Lord, when we're just sitting there in a park and enjoying a beautiful scenery, God, that we would be a place of worship. Lord, I pray that you would just help everybody in the Yakima Valley turn towards you. Let hearts turn towards you. For those that are away from you, those that have been hurt, those that have been wounded, Lord, in churches, God, we pray for healing for their hearts, Lord. We pray for restoration, Lord, of those, God, that have been wounded in such a way that they can't even look up to heaven, Lord. We pray that you would just bring healing to their hearts, Lord, and they would come alive to being the children children of God you've called them to be. They would come alive, Lord, to the life that's available for them in Christ. Lord, we just thank you, God, that you're working in our valley, Lord. You never stop working. Even when we don't see you working, Lord, you are working, God. So we thank you for your will being done in the Yakima Valley. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this coming Saturday night, please join us. And when I say us, I mean us, literally our house at the Lindells. We'll be hosting the house prayer. This is a time that you can come and just, if you have prayer needs that you want us to pray about, or if you just want to be in an atmosphere of praise and worship and prayer, I highly encourage you to come. We have a sign-up sheet. Most of the days are full on this. There is an opening for July 11th. So if someone wants to host home, you can for that day. But I want you to know that this is something that we're doing not just as a event as a church. We're doing this because we believe this is our heart, that we're called to be a house of prayer for all nations. And back in January, the Lord led us to during our 21-day fast, to have prayer on every Saturday night during that 21 days. And the Lord really awakened us to something, really kind of stirred something in us. And so I encourage you to come to a house prayer. I know maybe Saturday nights isn't your normal night of worship or your normal night thinking of church, but I can guarantee that if you come, you will be blessed. Amen. And then this coming May 17th, which is two more Sundays, we're going to be not here, not at this church. We're going to be down at Wixon Park. We're going to be our second time that we're going to be doing this. We were there last year, and it was awesome. And this is a joint Selah worship, about five or six churches. And these are great pastors. I've been meeting with them for lunch once a month over the last year. Last year, I hadn't even met anybody, and we just went. And we went just because someone had invited us. We thought, well, we're in Selah, so we should probably try to be part of the Selah worship experience. And so it was really good. Who made it last year? A few of you, it was good, wasn't it? So we're believing it's going to be better this year. I'm actually going to be sharing a little bit, so I'm part of the program. It's about 5 minutes, so it's not a big deal. But the point being is we want to be part of Selah. This is what we're here for, you know. Now, we're part of the valley, and yes, we declare over the valley, but we're here in Selah. This is our Jerusalem, so let's try to reach out and love others, especially brothers and sisters in Christ. So join us May 17th at 10 a.m., you'll probably want to get there before 10 a.m. because parking is crazy down there and finding a good seat. So, and speaking of seat, bring your own chair if you want to. If you want to sit on a chair, I highly encourage you to bring your own seat. All right? And then we want to thank everyone for your giving to the house. You can give up front, or you can give in the back, or you can give online. And just click the give button, and it will lead you through the process. And now let's have the children come up for children's ministry. Praise the Lord. We got two. I know there's more. Would you reach out your hand? Are you going to come up, Luna? Come on up. There we go. Reach out your hand and let's bless them. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these hearts, Lord, of these little ones, God, that are going to be in your care this morning and in loving hands, Lord. We pray, God, that you'd let their hearts open up to receive the word. We pray, Lord, that you let your blessing rest upon them and help them, God, to become the young ones that you've called them to be. Yes, they are called even for such a time as this, Lord. Let their lives reflect your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, as I said during our transition there, that we are called to be a house of prayer for all nations. This is the verse that the Lord gave us back in January, and it's Isaiah 56:7. It says, "Even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." And as we've communicated, that we are that house now. It's not the building that we're in, and it's not some, you know, some big church somewhere that is officially God's house. We are God's house. God has made us his house now. That is what Jesus said to the woman at the well. He says, you know, the Lord is looking for those who worship him in spirit and in truth so he could live in them and abide in them, that we are the temple. Amen? And again, this is all part of becoming a house of prayer for all nations. And so that's why the Lord really put on my heart that we are to have these house prayers. And they're every other week. I apologize if anybody thought it was going to be this coming, this last Saturday. I messed up when I was figuring out the calendar. You can mess up as a pastor. Did you guys know that? You can mess up dates and other things as well. So May 9th is going to be the next one. And then there'll be one May 23rd, June 6th, June 20th, and then, like I said, July 11th. Now, some of you, I've had to change these dates. Hopefully, I'll check with you this week and make sure all the dates are still okay, because I had the whole schedule wrong. Once I got May 2nd wrong, all every other week was wrong. So forgive me. So thank you. One forgiving me here. So today, believe it or not, is the power of prayer, a good, good father. And I don't know if you knew that. Did you know that? Yeah. So we were on the goodness of God, God being good. And so that's what we're going to be communicating about. When I say we, I mean me, myself and I, and the Holy Spirit. So, but if anyone wants to come up and share about the goodness of God, I'm open for that. So we were reading a few weeks ago in Luke chapter 11, 9 through 13. And it says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. In the New Living Translation, it gets the first part right. It says, keep on asking. It should say, for everyone who keeps on asking, receives. Everyone who keeps on seeking, finds. And everyone who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. And it says here, you fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask you for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now sometimes, I don't know, for whatever reason, we read the Bible so much that it gets to be like old hat to us. Anybody ever deal with that? It's like you just fill in the blanks. You don't really get the picture of what's going on. This was really a horrifying picture that Jesus was describing. And so I used a little bit of technology and came up with the show you here, verse 11. You fathers, if your children ask you for a fish, do you give them a steak instead? That'd be horrible, wouldn't it? That boy's like, that's not a fish. This makes no sense. I'm asking you, Dad, for a fish. I'm hungry. You know, can you give me a fish? And the dad goes, here you go, with a smile on his face. Here you go. It's crazy. Nobody would even expect that. How about this? If they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Of course not. Now, that girl's in a lot more shock. I would be, too. The scorpion looks worse than the snake for some reason. It just looks menacing. But she's asking for an egg, and he's giving her a scorpion. This does not make sense in our natural minds, does it? And Jesus is using this to illustrate the idea. In other words, if you are sinful people, crowd that he's talking to, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is a good, good Father. And we'll see that in the scriptures. And so if us evil people, sinful people, did you know that's what we are? For the most part, I'd like to say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But at that time, this crowd that he was talking to, this is before Jesus went to the cross, he's telling them, listen, your Father in heaven is much, much better than you. And if you wouldn't give your son or daughter a snake or a scorpion, surely the Heavenly Father's, who's good, and we'll see that, is going to give you what you ask for him. And especially good things of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew, we have like a contrast to this. This is Matthew 7, 9, and 10. It says, "Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent?" So it's a little bit different. It's not the exact same. This could be Jesus talking at a different time. And so Luke recorded or was hearing from whoever was telling him to write that. And Matthew was there, maybe heard himself exactly. But the idea of you're not going to bait and switch, you know. Aren't you glad that God doesn't bait and switch us? That God doesn't tell us, hey, come to me and I'll give you abundant life. And then he basically puts a yoke on us that we can't handle. Because Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if your life in God feels heavy and weighted down, maybe you need to evaluate what kind of yoke you've linked up to. You know, are you linking up to the yoke of Jesus, or are you linking up to a yoke that man has put on you? Yeah. I know it's really easy for pastors, churches, ministries to want to accomplish things. They want to be able to say, we finished this, you know, we've got this goal. We think the Lord's led us into it. And so they make it, you know, like, for instance, let's say that I said, all of you have to come to Saturday night prayer. And I made it so that you felt obligated to come. I made you feel like you are not a good Christian if you're not coming. Or you're not meeting to God's expectations of you if you're not coming. That would be putting a yoke on you of man, not a yoke of the Spirit. I say, listen, if the Holy Spirit isn't capable enough of encouraging you to come, how much less am I going to be able to encourage you? I can say, please come, join us. It's going to be amazing. It has been amazing. And you'll be blessed. But I'm not going to put a yoke on you that I can't even carry. That's one thing that Jesus said. You're telling the people to follow these rules and regulations that you can't even follow. He broke the Sabbath, I believe, to let them know that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In Matthew 7:11, he says this, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So Jesus isn't saying necessarily the Holy Spirit in this passage, but I'm here to tell you that good things come from God, and the ultimate good thing, I believe, is the Holy Spirit, which hopefully we'll learn. Psalm 34, 8 through 10 says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. That sounds like a promise. Those who fear him lack nothing. I'm going to hang my hat on that truth. Then it says in verse 10, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So those who fear him lack nothing, and those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. What does this tell me? This tells me that if we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to us. That's Jesus' New Testament translation of that verse. Then Romans 8, 31 through 32 says this. What then shall we say in response to these things? And Paul gives a big list of what those things are, that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that we can walk in a truth that we are the children of God and sons and daughters, and we're no longer slaves. We can walk in the understanding and truth that all things work together for good. There's many things that he talks about in there, that all creation's groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's in Romans 8. But he says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Is God for you? He is. Never, all my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been what? So, so good. If God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can be against us. No one can be against us. No thing can be against us. You say, well, Pastor, that's not what my life looks like. My life looks like things are against me. You know, here I am just, you know, serving the Lord, going along. And all of a sudden I wake up one morning and not feeling right. And then but that evening, 104 temperature and not feeling quite right. And then the next day, maybe feeling a little better. Then Monday morning, feeling bad again. And then my appendix has to be taken out. It sounds like something's against us. Yeah, maybe something's against you, but it's not God. It's not God. And if God's not against you, nothing really can be against you. Right? Louise, you didn't anticipate being in the hospital this week. And something seemed against you, your body, you know, but God was for you and still is for you. So he who did not spare his own son, this is powerful now. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave his only begotten son, his one and only beloved son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So it kind of goes along with that Matthew, that where it says here that, go back to it here. How much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Then going back to Luke 11:13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So, I love this. I found this. It says, the ultimate gift. Holy Spirit is not a gift among others. It is the gift that contains all others. Isn't it? It's so true. Holy Spirit is not the gift among others. In other words, the Holy Spirit is not just like another potential gift that we can receive in God's gifts. Now, Holy Spirit is all of God's gifts. Did you guys know that? All of God's gifts come from the Holy Spirit. We know that Jesus says that when he left the wilderness, well, first, he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit, it says. But then it says he came out after 40 days of fasting and being tested by the devil in the power of the Spirit. So I believe that when he came out of the wilderness, Jesus' true power was released to mankind because he came in the power of the Spirit. And then the same Spirit that eventually will raise him from the dead is the one that gives life to our mortal bodies. So Holy Spirit is not a gift among others. It is the gift that contains all others. I love that. So how does that happen? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, Galatians 5. This is part of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So you say, Pastor Mike, I just want more love in my life. Well, you have the Holy Spirit. You have love in your life. I just need some more peace. My life's just, well, you have the peace of God. It's the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. Pastor, I just can't, my willpower is just gone. I cannot keep from doing things that I know I shouldn't do. You have self-control, the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of sad faces because I took away all your excuses with that one. We have self-control. We have gentleness. We have faithfulness. We have all these things because we have the Holy Spirit. So cool. You know what? We ask Jesus into our heart and he says, I'm coming into your heart, and it's the Holy Spirit. When you say, I have Jesus in my heart, you have the Holy Spirit in your heart. That's one thing Jesus says. It's better for you that I go away. Why? Because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send the Comforter. I'm going to send the one that's going to be with you when you need him. And it's better that I go away because I can't be with everybody at one time. I'm just one person. But the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives in each and every one of us when we receive Jesus as our Savior. And then the gifts of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom,
faith, healings, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. 1 Corinthians 12, gifts of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How about motivational gifts? Prophecy, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, mercy, and serving. Romans 12, all gifts of the Spirit. How about the sevenfold Spirit of God in Isaiah 11? The Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The very Spirit of God. It says in Revelation, I believe it's in chapter 4 and 5, where we see the seven spirits of God before the throne. We see the seven spirits of God being included in the letter to the churches. I believe those are the attributes of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about. This is what we have received. We've received a lot. The ultimate gift. We receive that from a good, good Father. And when I received Jesus, I didn't really realize I was receiving all this stuff. Did you? And that's a lot of stuff. Some people say, well, you know, not everybody walks and all those things. No, but they're available. It says in 1 Corinthians 12, as the Spirit sees the need. How many of you were like sitting beside somebody talking about the things of God? It just opened up. All of a sudden, you start saying things about, you know, the word or the truth of the word, and it's wisdom that comes out of you, and you're like, where is this coming from? I have no clue. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why we don't have to rely just on our own abilities, because if we do, we're in a world of hurt. We have to realize that we are supernaturally empowered from heaven with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And when we talk and communicate, those that don't know him are drawn to the Lord. Or they're pushing him away because they smell death and they don't like that smell. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. So let's go the opposite. God is good. 1 John 1:5, New Living Translation. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. I love that. My God is light. The message says it this way. This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There is not a trace of darkness in him. This tells me that God is good and that he can't be evil. Say, well, what about when bad things happen to us? Well, that's number one, we're in a fallen world. You guys realize that we're in a fallen world? We're not in a totally glorified world. Do we have the glory in us, the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do we have the life of God in us? Yes. But we're in a fallen world. And Jesus said it this way, in this life, and he's speaking to his disciples, in this life, you will have troubles. In this world, you will have troubles, but be of good cheer, be of good courage, be encouraged. I've overcome the world. That's why we can say, if God is for us, what can be against us? Nothing. Now, a lot of you look at me like, Pastor, you're lying. No, I'm not lying. I'm really telling you the truth. If God is for us, nothing could truly be against us. That's why we have to say, awake my soul and sing. Because your soul, mind, will, and emotions is in chaos in this world. Because it sees things, it hears things, it's got inputs into it that cause it to be in trouble. And so you have to say, no, awake my soul and sing. I'm going to sing the praises of God. I'm going to remind my soul to rejoice in the Lord. Like David, when he had to not look at the men who were ready to kill him. He had to strengthen himself in God. What was he strengthening? His soul. He was strengthening his mind, will, and emotion. He says, no, God, you delivered me from Goliath. You delivered me from King Saul multiple times, throwing a spear at me. You delivered me from my enemies. You're going to take care of me now. And then he encouraged himself in the Lord. So he sought the Lord, and the Lord said, go and get your stuff back. Amen. James 1:17. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. The Complete Jewish Bible says it this way. Every good act of giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father who made the heavenly lights. With him there is neither variation nor darkness caused by turning. And then the Message, I love the way the Message says this. Every desire and beneficial gift comes out of heaven. The gifts are rivers of light cascading down from the Father of light. There is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, and nothing fickle. God is not a bait-and-switch God. God is not double-minded. God is not changing based upon circumstances. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is a good, good Father. And if the enemy is doing things in my life that is trying to get me to lose sight of that, then I have to remind myself all the more that he's a good, good Father, that he's a good God, that he's got me, that if the Lord is for me, and he is, then nothing can truly be against me. That's why you can say, though the enemy slay me, yet will I praise him. That's how come people go to their death in third world countries when they're said, hey, listen, either you bow and say, I'm going to follow whoever it is, Allah, you name them. Whoever they want the Christians to stop following. Or you deny Jesus that he's your Savior. There's people that have had to do that. There's a testimony of a family. They had the kids in the hole. And they said, deny Jesus, or we fill in the hole on them first, and then you guys go in afterwards. The mom and dad looked at the babies and said, we'll see you in heaven in a little while. That's someone who realizes if God is for them, nothing can be against them. God wants us to be fully equipped, fully able to be who we're called to be. And this scripture communicates it, I think, better than anything. Luke 12:32, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? Everything. What is the kingdom? The Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom? It's the dominion and life of God that we all can live as his children. New Living Translation says this way, so don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives you, Father, great happiness to give you the kingdom. This is Jesus' words now. The Williams says it this way, stop being afraid, my little flock, for your Father has gladly chosen to give you the kingdom. He's not holding it back from us. He's not waiting till we achieve some kind of pinnacle of spiritual maturity before he'll give us the kingdom. He knows we need the kingdom to be mature. He knows we need the kingdom to be his witnesses to here and throughout the entire world. He knows we need the kingdom to truly live a life that brings God glory. Because without that, it's really hard to live life without the kingdom. Without being in the kingdom of God, being a Christian is like rowing a boat up the river the wrong way. Has anyone ever had to do that? Just even a little bit. It's no fun. You're trying to get back to a spot. Oh, man, it feels like we're not going anywhere. That's what living your life outside of the kingdom, outside of the fullness of the Spirit. I was, how old? 20 years old? Long time ago. how many years? 46 years ago. And I was at a Bible study. And the pastor used this scripture to describe the heart of God. And he was talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that night. And which I didn't know what that was. Although I did go when I was in Portland to a church that was Spirit-filled, nobody really explained to me what they were all doing and the way they were singing around me and prophetically speaking in tongues and all of that kind of stuff. So I kind of had heard about it, but nobody had ever said, this is a gift for me. And when he got to that part in Luke 13 where it says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? My heart leapt. I realized that there was more to my Christian walk than what I had been experiencing. And so he just led us in a simple prayer, and Tom Baker was very, you know, insightful in leading us in a prayer, and I think almost everybody in the room received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I've explained it before, I went home, you know, I prayed in tongues a little bit there, but I went home and I laid in my bed and I was getting ready to go to sleep and I started praying in the Spirit, not really understanding all of it, just knowing that rivers of living water were flowing out of me. And then I woke up the next morning, my hands were up in the air and I was still praying. I don't know if I prayed all night long, but all I do know is that something transpired in me because the Father wanted to give me the good gift, the ultimate gift. The gift that contains all other gifts. But he wants the same for you. If you're saying like, well, you know, I'm not ready necessarily for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter. Just ask the Spirit to give you what you need to live for the Lord. And he'll do that. He's not going to withhold things, you know, because you're not perfect yet. He's not going to make you feel like, you know, well, you're not really qualified to have all of the Holy Spirit. That's why we pray for these little ones up here, that they would start being who they are in God now. Not when they grow up. Yeah, they could be world changers when they grow up, but they get world changers now. They are world changers, yeah. Because the Holy Spirit isn't stopped by your age, whether it's way up there or way down there. The power of God is able to move and wants to move. Why? Because lives need to be touched. Hearts need to be transformed like yours. I'm not saying your hearts need to be transformed. Maybe they do, but I'm saying like your heart's been transformed, others around you need to be transformed. That's why God wants us to become a house of prayer for all nations, so that the Holy Spirit and the kingdom of God could be given to those who don't know about it right now. So next time we sing Good, Good Father, remember, it's not just good because, you know, he keeps you from stubbing your toe. He's good because he's given you all the gifts. It says that he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So to me, he's given me everything for this life. And he's given me everything to be godly. That sounds like all I need. And that sounds like the Holy Spirit, doesn't it? Yes. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. As we sang earlier, you are good, good. Whoa. You are good, good, Lord. Whoa. Yeah, Lord, you're good. You're good. And Lord, I pray that we would come to a deeper revelation, a greater understanding, a greater level of faith, God, that you are good. No matter what our circumstances look like, no matter what the enemy's thrown at us, no matter what we've gotten into by being distracted or strayed, Lord, that we would realize that you are good and that nothing compares with your goodness. Lord, as long as we're seeking you, your kingdom and your righteousness, everything else in our life will be taken care of. In Jesus' name, amen. You're good. His goodness is running after you. It's running after you. Let it catch up. Let his goodness catch up. Receive it by faith. Say, Lord, you are good. And you're going to work in this situation for my good. Because you're going to make all things work together for my good. Because I love you, Lord, and I've been called according to your purpose. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Have a great week. Praise the Lord.